Welcome to the Petroplaza podcast, where we talk to industry leaders about the hottest topics around fuels, convenience, and car wash, where we look at the service station of today and tomorrow.
Hello there, Petroplaza listeners. As part of our hydrogen special, we wanted to speak to a few suppliers involved in hydrogen fueling to discuss the products and views on the market. Our first guest for this podcast is Liselott Nordholm. She's the Vice President and General Manager for Clean Energy and Global Platforms at Dover Fueling Solutions. She's worked in the fuel equipment industry for over 15 years. DFS is a global supplier delivering advanced fuel dispensing equipment, electronic systems and payment, automatic tank gauging, and wet stock management solutions. How are you today, Liselott?
Hey, Oscar. I'm good. Thank you. How are you?
Great. It's great to have you here with us. Most of the Petroplaza listeners will be quite aware of who Dover Fueling Solutions is and is past with Wayne, Torkheim, and Dover. However, you know, just for the purposes of the podcast, could you give us a brief overview of the company as well as your geographic reach?
Yeah, for sure. So as I said, Dover Fueling Solutions, DFS, has been in the retail fuel industry for many, many years. So we're delivering all type of fuel dispensing equipment, electronic systems, payment, automatic tank gauging, wet stock management, and various type of equipment for clean energy as well, including EV chargers, hydrogen equipment, CNG and LNG. And all of that is done under sort of well-renowned brands within the industry. So you've got Torkheim and Wayne, which you mentioned, but also Lical, where we have some of our clean energy products operating under. And in terms of the reach, we're really a global company. So we're operating on every continent around the world with our various product ranges and equipment.
DFS, through its various brands, has been one of the leaders for the liquid fuels equipment industry. And you know, for a number of years now, you've been investing and getting into the hydrogen space as well as some other alternative fuels. The acquisition of Lical, I think, was quite important for this part of the business. Could you kind of run us through the hydrogen product portfolio that you currently have?
Yeah, for sure. So as you say, the Lical acquisition, which happened in 2021, was a way for sort of DFS to speed up our entry into the clean energy segment in terms of LNG, but also in terms of hydrogen, which we're talking about here today. So on the equipment side, we have the ability to do turnkey stations today. We have some experience through the Lical organization in the past, and we're also currently planning some new projects through that channel. On the equipment side, we're delivering the fuel dispenser and also the thermal management system, so it's controlling those temperature ranges. And really being able to sort of bring all of that together in a full station concept for our customers.
I remember at the last Unity Expo, I believe that was the first time that you showcased the hydrogen dispenser. Mm-hmm. What was the status with that solution now?
So on the fuel dispenser side, so what we've done there is, of course, we're trying to leverage the experience we acquired with Lical and then all the experience we have on the dispensing side within DFS already. So the equipment you saw at Unity Expo Show was sort of a result of those combined efforts. And we do have our first product going into field here within the next couple of months. And then we're sort of continuously evolving and developing on that platform to reach more markets, more customers, and more, let's say, variations in terms of the dispenser equipment.
We've seen a lot of new players coming from the hydrogen side into this kind of booming market now. We see more and more investment coming into hydrogen. Just had the recent announcement from the European Union about the agreement on some minimum infrastructure for fueling. You know, what do you see the role of DFS being such an expert in the service station industry? What can it provide? Is it more experience? Is it a higher quality of products? What do you think gives you the edge over this kind of newer players?
Well, I think it is that experience in the fuel retail segment, knowing, let's say, the behaviors in the fuel retail environment, understanding what the customers are looking for, understanding the processes, the procedures, being able to connect the equipment to existing site infrastructures, because there, of course, there's a lot more to an installation than just the dispensing equipment itself. And, you know, especially when it comes to hydrogen, they're pretty complex installations. And I think that experience in, let's say, the liquid fueling, but also DFS have been doing compressed natural gas for many, many years. So I think all of these sort of combined knowledges on that whole environment and infrastructure helps us sort of bring additional experience and knowledge to the market in this for this type of products.
Lisa Lutt, you've been around this industry for a long time now. What role do you see hydrogen playing in the, you know, in the transport and mobility sector of the near future?
I think it's going to play a significant role. I think it is one of these energy types that is not moving super quick. It's getting a lot of media attention. It's getting a lot of attention in terms of, as I say, legislations, mandates coming out in terms of building up these networks. But it's still fairly slow moving, but it's clear that there's a big interest into hydrogen today. And I think we're seeing a lot more movement now if we compare just, you know, a couple of years back. So it is rapidly changing, but it's going to take time to build up that infrastructure. I think it's going to play a big role when it comes to heavy duty transportation. When it all started up, all discussions were really around the passenger car segment. Some of the players there are moving very well, paying a lot of attention to it. But I think now we've seen that shifting, and it's more sort of the long haul segment that is moving this forward. I think, you know, over time that will probably change and expand further. But I think that is the segment that will be focused on first, and which will be the sort of the reason to build up stations right now. And also we're seeing it moving at different phases in different parts of the world. And a lot of that is again linked to, you know, the ability to produce hydrogen, to transport hydrogen, and getting all of these sites up and running.
Yeah, that's very interesting. I've also noticed the shift that we've seen in the last few years from you know, more focus on passenger vehicles to heavy duty transport. You know, we've recently seen some big deals announced, like Total Energies announcing that they want to have 100 stations for heavy duty transport in Central Europe. And as I mentioned before, you know, we had this announcement of the European Union where they would like to have hydrogen stations every 200 kilometers. The hydrogen associations or groups would say that they wanted a more ambitious goal. However, do you think this provides enough support for the private sector to now, you know, speed up the process of fueling infrastructure?
Well, I think it certainly presents a starting point for speeding that up. I think there will likely be more national targets being added to those EU ones. And I think that is going to sort of determine which markets that may move more quickly than others. But for sure, it's a good starting point, and having those type of, let's say, mandates out there does help companies getting started on making these investments and proceeding with really getting sites into operations quicker.
Mm-hmm. And finally, Lisa Lott, is there any developments that we can expect from DFS and hydrogen in the near future?
So we're certainly working to advance our portfolio in that segment. We've already talked about, let's say, the products we have available today under our Lecal brand and the DFS dispensing equipment that's been shown at various trade shows. So for now, we're kind of continue to develop on that platform and make more options and variations available and really get that product industrialized and out to the wider market.
Our next guest for this special podcast focusing on suppliers with hydrogen solutions, we're going to be speaking to Alejandro Blanco. He's commercial director at Hyperbaric. He's an industrial engineer and has been working at this company for over 10 years. Hyperbaric is one of the world's leading companies focused on industrial equipment for high-pressure technologies. It is specialized in renewable hydrogen compression technology at very high pressures for the decarbonization of mobility and the industry. Hi, Alejandro. How are you?
No, Oscar. Very good. Thank you.
So, Alejandro, maybe we can start with a bit of a context, and you can tell us about Hyperbaric, you know, what you do, where do you do it, and how did the company get into this fascinating world of hydrogen compression?
Absolutely. So first of all, I would like to introduce the company. As you said, Hyperbaric has been in the high pressure processing business for more than 20 years. We start with a company for an R&D project to design and manufacture a kind of equipment that is used mainly for processing food with high pressure, with water at 6,000 bar. And we became the world leader because of our different innovations and different advantages of our technology. We were, you know, very comfortable with that technology. Like I said, we are the world leaders with more than 70% of the market share and more than 400 units are installed around the world. But 6-7 years ago, we started with the idea to diversify the company and, you know, taking advantage of that and know-how regarding high pressure processing application and knowledge about how to deal with high pressure. So for us, it was an easy move to move into the hydrogen because you know we were always very interested in new possible application for high pressure, and especially for those that can help society to decarbonize and become more green. Okay, so that was that was an easy move for us, and that's why we start with this business in hydrogen. We are, even though we are a company based in Spain, we are located everywhere. We have offices all around the world, in North America, in Asia, and Oceania. Pretty much 90% or even more of the equipment that we supply is installed outside of Spain. And basically, this is what we do here in Hyperbaric, you know, to deal with high pressure. And now we have the goal to help our society to become more green with this solution for hydrogen compression.
And what would you say is the role of Hyperbaric in the green hydrogen value chain?
The goal of Hyperbaric is to become also the leader in piston compression technology. Okay. So we have the approach to be a partner for that. Particularly, part of the value chain, which is the compression. Hydrogen is a very small molecule with really low density. So if you want to use it for whatever application, you need to either liquefy it or you can compress it. So we want to provide a good solution for that part, for compress the gas up to high pressure, so you can, you know, store more gas in less volume. So we have solution for, let's say, different parts in the value chain. Okay, so we can compress the gas that has been generated in an electrolyzer. So we can compress it to be distributed in a pipeline or in tube trailers or something like that. But we also have solution for hydrogen compression to be, let's say, used in mobility, because normally that solution requires hydrogen at a higher pressure, normally 350 even more, or even 700 bar. So we have solution for both projects in the hydrogen, renewable hydrogen generation sites, or even for mobility.
So we've seen that Hyperbaric develops a hydrogen compression technology at very high pressures. You know, can you tell us more about your solutions?
So when we start with this project a few years back, we really understand that we had to have a different things in mind, okay, to develop our solution. First of all, we had to provide an efficiency solution, because the market, of course, a few years back there wasn't any market, but now we see from the market that everybody is paying attention to be efficient. Okay, so that's why when we designed our solution, we had that in mind, and we have a really good solution that requires less kilowatts per kilo of hydrogen that you need to compress. And we have used part of the knowledge of other applications using different fluids at very high pressure, specifically for hydrogen. Okay, so for instance, we in our compressors in the chamber where we compress the gas, we come up with a solution, a design to be able to extract the heat generated during the process in a very efficient manner, using design that we have used for other equipment. and we are able to pretty much achieve an isothermal compression process, which is a more efficient one. And that's why we are able to require less kilowatts or less energy per kilo of hydrogen we need to compress. This is something we do, but also something very important we are putting on the table of in our solution is that we are able to control the compressor let's say the compressor flow rate or the capacity completely from 0 up to 100%. Okay, this is very important because most of the projects that we are working now requires this kind of feature in the unit because most of our customers are using renewable sources to generate hydrogen. Okay, with an electrolyzer, of course, and then the production is not constant. It's not always the same. You don't have wind, you don't have sun continuously. So this is a very important feature that we are able to provide with our solution. Okay, to be able to adapt to whatever flow rate or capacity that you need in our unit. And lastly, a very interesting approach of our solution is that we provide a complete plug and play compressor solution. So basically, you don't need to take care of anything. It's very easy to integrate. We provide a unit in a 20-foot container with everything integrated because this gas is quite complicated to deal with. So we provide with different sensors, ventilation, vent circuit controls. So all that is included in our solution. So basically, our customers need to connect the different utilities, power connection, gas connection, and so on, and then we do the rest.
The background of the company is very interesting. That you come from this high pressure environment, but from the water side, and that you've come into mobility. So generally, you're working your way into this industry where we see a lot of movement now. I think for a number of years, hydrogen was stalling a little bit in terms of transport, but now we see a lot of support coming from the European Union over in the States as well like South Korea and Japan and China. There's a lot of movement. We recently saw the announcement from the European Union for infrastructure of AFIR. How do you see the role of hydrogen in transport and mobility?
Well, we see hydrogen for mobility could be part of the solution, okay? Because we see the future as a mix of different technologies, okay? So there will be, of course, electric cars powered with batteries, but of course there will be a space for technologies like fuel cell vehicles powered with hydrogen. So we see the market. Of course, there will be other technologies, but we see a market for different technologies combined. To provide a solution that will improve us the way we are not putting too much CO2 in the atmosphere. Okay, so this is the way we think it's going to be the future and the role of hydrogen in the mobility sector, because there are different advantages of this technology, sorry, of hydrogen compared with others that we believe they're going to make a really big impact. For instance, the time for dispensing or for charging the truck or a car or whatever is really, really, really low in a hydrogen, for an hydrogen car compared with, for instance, an electric a car or truck powered with batteries, and also the autonomy. So for not for everything, but for specifically a few some applications, hydrogen should have a very important role for mobility.
Before you told me that you've already done a number of installations in Europe, including one for buses in Germany. Well, what type of vehicles do you think are the most suited for hydrogen technology?
Yeah, like I said, it depends on the use, but we believe mainly for trucks, buses, trains, really heavy trucks, sorry, heavy vehicles. Hydrogen could be a really, really good solution. Mainly because you don't really need to have a large number of batteries. Okay, so a lot of weight in the vehicle. And also because, like I said, the time for dispensing would be really, really low compared with electrical batteries. Okay, so we believe we see the future for hydrogen, especially in the near future for this kind of vehicles. Okay, for trucks, buses, trains, heavy vehicles.
Okay, well, thank you very much for being with us, Alejandro. Very interesting to get to know Habibarik and yourself.
Yeah, it was my pleasure, and thanks to you for continuing us for this podcast.
For the third segment of this special podcast about suppliers and hydrogen, we're going to speak to Ricardo Esteves. He is the Hydrogen Business Unit Manager at HelloNext. He has plenty of experience in the energy and gas sector, having had a long career at Air Liquide. He now leads the business development for hydrogen solutions at HelloNext. Hello, Ricardo. How are you?
Hello, Oscar. It's a pleasure to be here with you.
Thank you. Same for us. So maybe we could start by talking about HelloNext. You could tell us how they came into the hydrogen business and what is their connection to the Petrotech Group, which is a leading Portuguese supplier of fueling equipment that we've come to know in this industry.
HelloNext is part of the group Petrotech. The HelloNext started in 2019 with the EV chargers. 1 year after, HelloNext decided to go forward to the hydrogen mobility. Okay, so right now we have a huge products regarding the green mobility, EV chargers, and the hydrogen solutions.
Now, can you tell us a little bit about some of the products and services that you do offer that are related to this, incredibly interesting sector, which is hydrogen?
Okay, in regarding hydrogen and our solutions, we have three solutions mainly regarding the hydrogen value of change. Okay, we have solutions for power to mobility, power to gas, and power to industry. We manufacture all that solutions in-house in order to customize all our solutions to the needs of the clients. Okay, if a client needs something specifically regarding this value of change, we can optimize and give him a right solution for their needs.
So when it comes to, I think at one of the trade shows, I have seen some of the actual products. But can you tell us more in detail about the dispensers and the products around those technologies that you have?
Right now, we don't start for the dispenser, okay? Because the hydrogen refueling stations, the most important equipment is the control unit, is not dispenser, okay? And because of that, we start in the control unit, okay? As we name Core H2, it's our control unit, okay? And this control unit we are developing in the science the last year, okay? So we right now we focus our efforts in that control unit. But in the coming years, we will have our own dispenser. The idea is to develop our dispensers with some particularities regarding safety, okay? Our idea is to develop a equipment 100% safety, okay? In order to give the people, the person who will fill the vehicles, have the complete 100% safety secure, okay? So right now we don't have a dispenser. We will have it soon. But we work with our partners in order if one client needs a complete hydrogen refueling station, we can supply us with all the installation, okay, including the dispenser.
As a supplier of traditional supplier of liquid fuels equipment, what are some of the challenges of now getting into the business of hydrogen solutions?
The biggest challenge for us is the security. Security, safety is the most important because when you change a big transformation regarding liquid fuels to gas fuels. And regarding hydrogen, it's much more explosive than the other, the combustible, the fossil fuels, okay? And you don't see him, you don't smell him, okay? You don't taste him. So it's very important safety. Because if you don't build a safety solution, you cannot put in the market, put other people in risk regarding this technology. So our main concern right now is to develop a product 100% safety, because if we don't give to the market a 100% solution safety, we will have big problems, and nobody believes in us if we have an accident or something like that. Okay, so the big challenge for us is to put the one product in the market 100% safety.
We've seen a lot of movements around hydrogen mobility over the last year, especially. It feels like this the sector is really ramping up the speed of development. What do you see as some of the biggest challenges that remain for hydrogen mobility to become commercially viable?
Okay. For us, in my point of view, okay, what I think is the one of the problems is the chicken egg dilemma. Okay, we have first the vehicles, or we have the infrastructure. Okay, but right now, all the people that I speak regarding the hydrogen community, okay, the everyone knows that must happen first the infrastructures, okay? If we don't have the right infrastructures, nobody buy a car, a fuel cell car, okay? So this is one of the big problems, is what came first, the infrastructures or the vehicle, okay? The other things that the big challenge is the cost of technology. Right now is too high. The technology is very, very expensive, okay? If you need a hydrogen refueling station to produce 4 kilograms per day, it costs more or less 5 millions of euros. It's a lot of money. So the technology must to scale up, okay, in order to reduce the prices. Okay, this is one of the problems. The other problems is the bankability of the projects. Okay. If you don't have an off-taker, if you don't have someone to keep with the hydrogen, it's unuseful to produce hydrogen to storage. You must sell it, okay? And you have a business case, very, very, very well done, okay? And because of that, maybe if you don't have that business case right, you don't have bankability of the project.
Yeah, I think this is certainly some of the biggest stumbling blocks for the development of the sector. I wanted to ask you, as Petrosec, a Southern European company, a Portuguese company, but that has a global presence, you know, what is the potential of Southern Europe in the hydrogen value chain?
Because we have a lot of sun in Iberia. Sun and wind, okay? So if you think that the more or less 60 or 70% of the cost of one kilogram of hydrogen is energy cost, if you have a lot of renewable energies, you have a potential to produce hydrogen at lower costs, okay? Other things that could be a very potential, in particular in Portugal, I'm not sure in Spain and the other countries, but in Portugal, is the we can cover a lot of points of the value chain of the hydrogen. It means power to industry and power to gas. It means you can produce hydrogen, you can inject in the natural gas pipeline, or you can produce hydrogen and inject directly to the some companies, some industry that need a lot of heat. In the time that companies don't need so much hydrogen, you can produce it, hydrogen, storage, and give to mobility. So could be the most potential of hydrogen in south of Europe countries, okay?
So that was it for this supplier-based podcast for Hydrogen Solutions and our Petroplus Hydrogen Special. I want to thank Hyperbaric, Dora Fueling Solutions, and HelloNext for their participation. It's very interesting to see how players from the liquid fuels industry, as others from the gaseous industry, are coming in to try and provide with solutions to push the hydrogen mobility sector forward. There'll be much more to follow about this sector, and we will do so in Petroplaza.